Praise God. Well, here we go. Hallelujah. Made it to church tonight. Didn't let the weather keep you out. Glory to God. I am particularly excited about tonight's message. There's some things that God has really been really stirring in me. The other day, I actually was seeking Him on something specific. Kind of the subject of tonight's message, I was seeking Him on it, and as I was seeking it, I kept hearing this word over and over, steadfast, steadfast, steadfast. And I knew that was going to be my answer to what I was seeking Him on. But then as I started getting into it more and studying it out, what I started realizing was that there was more to it than just for me. Praise the Lord, it was for all of us. And so I'm excited to get into it tonight, and I hope that you are too. Praise the Lord, and hope you're believing with me to just get all that we, because there's a lot of stuff in this, so we need to get all that we can get out of it. Amen? Amen. But tonight's message is called Steadfast Instead of Fast. Praise the Lord. Steadfast instead of fast. Glory to God. You know, and I mean, there's a whole lot that is clear to us just in the title. But you know, God desires to produce steadfastness in us. Amen. Steadfastness is the ability to remain. Steadfastness is the ability to carry on. It's the ability to keep going. It's the ability to stand up again. Praise God. And so there's a lot to it. And it may surprise you to know that God isn't near as concerned about this life as you are. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. He desires to bring His life here, and He desires to do that in His people. And this very fact should tell us a whole lot about His character and a whole lot about what we face in life. When we're facing things in life, when we're seeing opposition, when we're seeing, just the different kinds of things that can rise up, we really need to think about them differently. We need to think about it from His standpoint. And that's why God wants to produce steadfastness in us. Glory to God. But we have to understand that steadfastness, the very nature of it, means it's not going to come quickly. Amen. We in the faith camp, you know, we're taught a lot about faith. We're taught a lot about different things, you know, about how to get things and how to believe God for things. And though I'm not coming against that and saying that none of that's true, sometimes we get this idea that it needs to happen more quickly than waiting for it. Glory to God. But that is not the things that God desires for us. It's not that God doesn't desire to bless us, but he does desire certain things to be built in us. Amen. And the purpose of building things in us is really to keep us from, so we don't just become spoiled brats and just get things and then, you know, just kind of use them and don't ever appreciate them. But then there's more to it than even that. But He desires to bring His life here. And God's life is not something, God's life is not something, I'm trying to think of a nice way to say it. I said it last night. I was talking about it in the car. It was a notable quote, but I can't say that in church. Yeah, praise the Lord. But there's a few people that heard it. But God, He's not cheap. Amen? He's not a cheap thrill. Glory to God. He's not, I didn't touch on it. I'm going, feel like I'm getting in trouble up here already. But it doesn't, God isn't just, he's not into one night stands. God isn't into, just quick and easy. He's into easy, but not just quick, you know what I mean? God wants things to be built in us. Hallelujah. Well, let's turn to the first scripture. Maybe this will be a good jumping off point. So I don't get into trouble. Psalm 51, look at that. I opened right to it. Psalm 51, praise the Lord. Verse 10, Psalm 51, verse 10. I discovered, I've read through the Bible, I know, many times. I haven't counted, and I've never sat down and tried to read it cover to cover. But I definitely know that I've been through the Psalms many, many times. And, you know, it's funny because you can go through the scripture a lot and then still come across a scripture and be surprised by it. Amen. But as I was seeking this, I started looking into the words. As I heard the word steadfast, I wanted to start looking into how many times that this appears in scripture and where it does. And that's kind of a direction I often will go in. And I came across this scripture, and I was really pleasantly blessed by it. But it says here, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Praise the Lord. A steadfast spirit produces a clean heart because it does not give in to lust. And, you know, as we look here, this is really a picture of righteousness and what God desires us to be. But, you know, this idea, I think it's really interesting because whoever wrote this, I'm not sure right offhand who it was, but whoever wrote this psalm, you know, it's kind of like prophetic. It's kind of like, you know, telling us, it's instruction. You know, obviously it's a prayer for this person, whoever wrote it or whoever said it, but obviously inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so again, it's direction for us. And it's understanding for us as well to create in me a clean heart. And this is done through through the renewing of a steadfast spirit, getting us to a place where we're not easily moved, getting us to a place where we're constant, where we're calm. Yeah. Amen. I wrote some things down. Actually, I wrote quite a bit down for the sermon, which, you know, is a lot different than the way I normally go about things. But and you have to excuse me, I seem to have something in my throat tonight. But I wrote down, there's a problem in people when they make decisions before they have weighed it spiritually. You know, so many people are so quick to make a decision. They're so quick to jump on things because of based on the way they feel, or so quick to even desire things just because of the way you feel. Have you ever desired something just instantly? I mean, I know that's kind of a dumb question because we all have. But, you know, typically when we desire something quickly, first thing we do is we give ourselves over to the thoughts of that thing. We start kind of jumping into it. We start thinking about it. We start meditating on it. And then all of a sudden it starts becoming almost an obsession. And sometimes it does become an obsession. Yeah. Amen. But a lot of times those kinds of things are not done from a spiritual standpoint. You know, people a lot of times they think that the spirit, because something will come on them quickly, they think it's the spirit, but they don't take time to weigh it. And this is the thing that I've learned about God, is that one thing God gives us is the ability to, he gives us time generally to weigh things. In fact, if God needs us to get into something quickly, he makes it very, very clear that we need to get into it quickly, or that we have to move quickly. But I find that for most things in life, and when I mean most, I think probably 95% or better things in life, we don't have to move on quickly. That we can take time, that we can meditate on God's word and on God's truth. But see, the thing is what the distraction often does is it gets us to meditate on it. You know, and of course the devil would like us to do that. I remember as a young man, there was a lot of things I desired and desired quickly. You know, for me, I remember a time when 5 years seemed like forever. And now if somebody says something's going to happen in 5 years, I'm like, well, that's not that long at all. Praise the Lord. But I remember when I was my son's age, you know, in 5 years, you know, when you're 19 years old, it seems like even another year is going to take forever. And then as you get older, you start learning that, you know, things that time seems to go quicker. Praise the Lord. And so, but there's a problem in people when they make decisions before they've weighed it spiritually. To walk in the Spirit literally is to learn to be steadfast. That's what the Spirit is. You know, I've been saying this a lot in sermons that, you know, talking about this, these kinds of things a lot, that, you know, I've been talking about, what's that? Yeah, I've been talking about, I'm sorry, I got distracted there for a minute by myself. But I've been talking a lot about what it is to be in the Spirit and how it's not this goofy, magical thing. It doesn't have to be, you know, that doesn't mean that there's never feelings or there's never things that go along with being in the Spirit, but it's not we almost hype it up to be something that it's not. And there certainly will be experiences in the Spirit. There'll be times in the Spirit where you'll be, you know, you'll just be flushed with God, where you'll feel it with every part that that you are. And, you know, it almost just feel like it oozes on you. I've had it, you know, the Spirit feel where it feels like it's like poured over me like hot butter or something. But, you know, that's not what the Spirit is. I've been finding the more that I walk with God, the more stability comes to life and the more practicality comes to life. You know, it's like God, you know, for example, God wants to bless our finances. I believe that with all my heart. But God doesn't bless somebody and financially who's not a good steward of finances. And so we understand that there's a practical aspect of the blessing of God. I believe that, I mean, the Bible teaches these things over and over and over again, but it goes with everything. You know, do we want to grow a church? Do we want to grow the kingdom of God? Well, all these things come as we walk them out practically. As we, you know, you can't build the kingdom of God without building relationships. Amen. So you can sit there and think, well, I'm just going to walk down the street and maybe God will send people to me. But that's not the way it works. We have to go out and labor. We have to go out and make things happen. You have to be, you know, reach the people that you're around. You say, well, God hasn't sent me anyone good. Yes, he has, because you've been blessed enough with a job or with the ability to go to the store and buy something or whatever. And so we're constantly in the situation. See, that's what I mean. We're so often we're waiting for God to move. Yeah. When God has already moved, you know, he's put us in situations, and the plan for our life as we walk that plan out, literally taking the steps every single day. When I walk into Home Depot, I take steps into Home Depot, and with every step I get to a different place, and it's literally progressing through the plan of God. Like I'm physically doing that. And so often we don't think of the plan of God as something that's ethereal or something that's out there in the world somewhere. But in reality, he's made it as much a part of us as everything that is us.
That's right.
Amen? Yeah. Your personality is part of the plan of God. Yeah. Because he's going to use that personality. And there's some people you just don't like their personality. But God can use that though. I mean, every time we come up across a hard person, especially in our family or something, like, you know, a person that's just difficult to deal with or whatever, we always think, man, that would be great for the kingdom of God if they'd redirect that. And maybe you've got a hard personality. It would be great for the kingdom of God if you would redirect that. If you would use that, you know, if you're like, man, I'm so bold, instead of being a jerk, why don't you reach people? Praise the Lord. Why don't you be bold for Christ? Amen. You know, I mean, there are aspects of the personalities that aren't good, you know. Praise God. But this is what God has called us to. So a spiritual walk is walking things out. In a practical way. Yeah. Amen. But see, the important thing is to come from that place of a clean heart, having a heart that's cleansed. See, God wants to bring us somewhere. In fact, I've been seeing this as I've been studying out, you know, why salvation and the things that he did with salvation and what Jesus did, you know, for us is to bring us to that place where we could be led by his Spirit and not mucked up with all the things of life. A clean heart is a heart that's not mucked up with all the natural fleshly desires. You know, it's not that you can't desire anything. It's always good to desire things. God's put the ability for us to desire in us. But when those desires become the substance of what your heart is, and you can know what that is because that's the thing that you're always drawn to. You know, the Bible says that wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And it's really talking about the same thing. But God brings us to that place of having a clean heart through steadfastness, by not giving you everything all at once. When you get born again, he doesn't just heap riches on you and heap doors of opportunity on you, but he allows you to walk them out. He allows you to have time to seek him in prayer, to put something before him and then wait.
Yes.
God is okay with that. To have healing of different parts of, whether it's physical or spiritual or just, mental healing or whatever, you know, maybe you've had situations, God allows us to walk that out. You know, somebody I love to listen to, I listen to clips of her quite often, is Joyce Meyer. And I have clips come up on my Instagram feed or whatever. And so I often like to listen to those. They're just usually 1 to 5 minute clips. But one of the things I love about them is they're always so practical.
Yeah.
But here is this woman who has gone through so much I mean, if you understand her testimony, it's just an amazing testimony, you know, of how God brought her through and from a place of just abuse and all these kinds of things. And he's brought her and uses her in such a precious and practical way. Amen. But that's exactly what he brought her through, a process. You know, and that process is learning to be patient and steadfast, to allow these things, to allow certain things to be worked in her, but also certain things to be worked out of her. And so if you're at a place in life where you're like, man, I just am not where I want to be, or maybe there's just a lot that isn't quite right, that you're not seeing yet, the things that you want to come to pass, the thing that you have to remember is that God will bring them to you in the right time. And so but he wants to produce something in you that's lasting, because those things are not lasting, but the things which he brings are. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. To walk in the Spirit is learn to be steadfast, not instant gratification, but growth over time. This came to me the other day, and this wasn't part of the message, but I put it in here because I think it went well with it. People who are taught to seek desires yet not to control the flesh will be out of order. They'll always be out of order. You know, there's nothing wrong. I love the idea of teaching about God's prosperity and how God wants us blessed and stuff like that, because he does. I think it's foolish to be able to look at Scripture and not come to the idea that God wants us blessed. Amen. But so often when we hear prosperity being taught, and there's almost a bent to it sometimes where people are teaching it from this place. And when I say prosperity, I'm just not talking just financial prosperity, but a prosperous life, a life that you're happy to have, that life that you were after, that you want. Amen. Praise the Lord. But when you teach people to just do that without building character in them, without building steadfastness, it gets out of order. In fact, what it becomes, and I've really kind of struggled with this some as I've looked at people, I'm like, things have kind of gone to a place of coveting. It's almost come out of the churches is, you know, God wants you blessed, 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 which he does, but it almost comes to a thing where we're like, that's the thing we're after. And really, that shouldn't be the focus at all. We should understand that. It should be an understanding. It shouldn't be an argument within us. It's something we should understand, but it shouldn't be the thing that we're after. There has to be balance. God's way is increase without covetousness. It always is. It's increase. That's why, you know, we talk about tithing and stuff around the year. We give scriptures for our tithing and giving and stuff like that. And there's this idea, you know, we love scriptures like Luke 6:38, which says, "Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men pour into your bosom." And we love hearing things like that. We love hearing that when we tithe, that he says to test him, because he'll open the windows of heaven, amen, and pour out for us such a blessing that it overflows, glory to God, that we can't even receive it, that it just keeps running over. And we love to hear that. And a lot of times that becomes the heart behind why we do those things. Yeah. But it's wrong. It's good to understand the truth, but it's wrong to seek after that, because that becomes coveting. And that's exactly what God doesn't want. In fact, coveting is put it right up there with all other evils. Glory to God. And we have to understand that. So we should be leery of those things. Praise the Lord. And the other thing that we need to understand is that if we could see the outcome of every action ahead of time, that we would probably choose to do things a little bit differently. You know, I've noticed, you know, as I was seeking God specifically for these things and things I was just thinking of, you know, as it pertains to this subject, I got to thinking about, have you ever seen the movie? I don't even know if it's good, so if you haven't seen it, don't necessarily go watch it. But is it Bruce Almighty?
Oh, yeah.
Where a guy was giving God's power because he was saying that God didn't know what he was doing, kind of thing, or whatever. Well, and one of the things that he did to impress a girl is he made the moon get really big. I don't know if you remember that part of it. But basically the lessons he learned is as he was doing these things that it was causing all this other destruction. You know, there's I've talked a lot about this scientist Christian that I've watched, this astrophysicist, and one of the things that he was talking about was hurricanes, and he was talking about how hurricanes, we have just the right amount of hurricanes. We haven't really had an increase in hurricanes, but we have just the right amount, and just the right amount of power comes from them, and it's actually a good thing. Yeah. If we didn't have hurricanes, then the oceans, the parts of the oceans would get way too hot, and it would destroy all the ocean life. And so it's actually like a thermostat, a natural thermostat to control the earth, to help control weather patterns and stuff like that. And also in some parts of the world, they have typhoons, which is the same as a hurricane, just a different part of the world. But in those places, they bring rain, and that rain enables them to feed the massive amounts of people that they have. And so all these things are important. And you think, well, what about all the people that live at the coast? Well, really, I mean, and he even brought this up, and I really like it. I think it's true. You know, the Bible told, Jesus said, the wise man build his house on the rock, not the sand. Right? I mean, it's the truth. And when people, you know, and there is some truth to it, that there will be a certain amount of destruction at those places because it's a needed thing. You know, if you go to the core of the earth, it's very hot. I don't know how hot, but it's very hot. You would melt instantly. And in fact, sometimes parts of that, not the actual core, but the magma or whatever around it comes out, and it can't stand the pressure, and it's got to release it. Amen. And that causes destruction. In fact, I saw a show once where I was reading something article. I like architecture. I think you know that. And as it was in Hawaii, and they built on this what they call a lava flow. And they built this house. They got the land fairly reasonable for obvious reasons. And they said that when they built the house, that it's not a matter of if lava comes, it's a matter of when. So they know that it's going to come and that it'll be destroyed. I imagine they don't get good fire insurance there. But they know that it'll be destroyed, but that's a process that's needed on the earth, amen? And so we understand those things, that there are reasons for those. And so, you know, if we put ourselves in harm's way, of course, that's not God's plan, you know, necessarily. And if you know somebody who lives in hurricane-rich areas, you know, I'm not talking bad about them, but there is just an understanding about it, amen? They're good places to visit, maybe not live, amen? Praise the Lord. But the idea, what I was talking about, is if we could choose every outcome, if we could see every outcome as we chose it, we might choose it differently. You know, I remember there was an example of a person I knew that I desired healing for. And this person, if I had my way, I would have made them healed. But the thing that the Lord showed me later on is that if they had been healed, the path they would have taken would have kept them away from his kingdom. They would have never been able to be saved. That wasn't his fault, but that was their fault because of the choices that they made. They would have gone back into the lifestyle that they had before, which would have kept them out. And as I believe, I know that may be a hard thing to hear, but I see in that situation how it was better that certain things came to pass, because even the Bible tells us this in 1 Corinthians, I think it is. It talks about giving someone over to the Satan for the destruction of their flesh, that their spirit would be saved in that day. And so we understand that sometimes if it's a choice between their spirit being saved or their flesh dying here, you want to choose their spirit being saved. See, God, when I said that God isn't as worried about this world or concerned about this world as we are, it's because he understands there's an afterlife. He understands there's other things. And so I'm not saying that's the case for everybody who doesn't get healed, but I am saying that that can be a cause at different times. Or sometimes it would be a blessing. Maybe, you know, we often talk about it with the lottery. People think, oh, I would love to win the lottery. But the truth of the matter is if a steadfast character has not been built in you, that you won't handle that money right. And the truth is that a good portion of people that win the lottery end up, addicted to drugs. They end up doing all kinds of bad things with that and with vices, and they always end up poor. And that's not the blessing of God. Not always, but a lot of people do. And some people are wise with it, and there's nothing wrong with that. But that's the idea of getting rich quick. And that God's the same way. If you think that you can handle something, but if God hasn't brought it to you yet, you have to question whether or not you can. Yeah. See, because he knows. You think you can because you want it.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Yep. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So sometimes there's things that we don't get specifically because of what it would do for us. Maybe there's something that you could get that would distract you and keep you from fulfilling the plan that he has for you. We have to consider these things when we consider why don't certain things happen. And then there's another thing that there's another side of it. Sometimes things are just going to come in time so we can carry those things. You know, God would bring wealth to a person who's faithful with it, but he'll bring it to them over time. Amen. Praise the Lord. So see, in our humanity, we might make choices that are wrong, but God sees them from the beginning. Turn with me to Galatians 5:16. Praise the Lord. Galatians 5:16. Now, I don't want you to think, you know, just because I give an example, I don't want you to think that that's the case for every single time something happens in that area. I mean, we do have to seek them out because there's a million and one different reasons why anything could happen. You understand that. Sometimes it could be just an attack. Just could be somebody is being, you know, opposed. A plan of God is being opposed. Sometimes it could just be that, that you've made bad decisions. Sometimes it could be because you would make bad decisions. There's all kinds of reasons. I'm not saying that we have to just settle on one, but we can see that there at least can get to some balance there. Amen. Galatians 5:16, you know, these scriptures, of course, I'm in these a lot, but there's so much in these that we just really need to understand. And I'm still even getting more as I was reading them today. Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." The flesh wants what the flesh wants. And especially in people who are given to the flesh, it's easy for me to desire the flesh. To go after the flesh, to do what the flesh wants. I live my life that way. But see, God isn't going to bless that because that's the path of destruction.
Right.
You understand, when Jesus came to save us, he saved us from us.
Yeah.
He saved us from our flesh.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Our flesh was producing in us all kinds of sin. In fact, Paul talks about that in Romans 7. He talks about the amount of that sin was causing destruction within us. And but God desired that we partake of his life. God desired that we partake of the things that he had for us, the way that he created us. And of course, sin separated us from that. And really, sin in the flesh made it impossible for us to do that. Well, Jesus, one of the things that he did was he enabled us to get back to that place in God's graces. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he did so by giving us his Spirit, by cleansing us, by giving us the ability to get to God, because we were like pushed away from that by our own sins, by our own flesh. And so when the Bible says here to say, walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. It means literally that when we walk yielded to his Spirit, following spiritual principles, following spiritual things, that the flesh won't be a concern of ours. How do you fight the flesh? You fight it with the Spirit. What's the Spirit? Well, we're going to get into that more as we go, but if you skip on down to verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is. The fruit of the Spirit is the thing the Spirit wants to produce in you. And so how we walk by the Spirit is by walking by the fruits of the Spirit, by rejecting the things of the flesh. And of course, just before this, in the in between verse 16 and 23, or 22, it tells us you know, what the acts of the flesh are. And we don't need to go into that right now. You can look at it later if you want. But the fruit of the Spirit is, it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. But I really want to focus on a couple of these today because that's the message that we're in. I want to focus on patience and self-control. Because these are the things, this is what steadfastness is. That's what patience is. That's what steadfastness is. Steadfastness is patience, and patience is steadfastness. Amen? And self-control is a result of those. If you walk in the flesh, you will not walk spiritually. It's a simple fact. You aren't going to be able to. There is no walking spiritually if you walk according to the flesh. And so that's why we need to consider, you know, to this week's Faith Fix, I was talking about, I was talking about that a little bit. I was talking about the decisions that we make. And sometimes one of the things I said in there is sometimes we have to practice telling the flesh no. When there's something you want, sometimes you're just going to, I mean, we need to practice it. And when I mean practice it, I don't mean just do it once. I mean, we need to make it a practice of life. That we spend time telling the flesh no. Now, how are you going to do that? I want this. And this isn't, there's nothing wrong with it. It's perfectly good for me. And I want it. But I'm going to say no. Because it's something I want. You know, I'm talking about feeding the flesh. Giving the flesh something it wants. There are things that you can desire in the flesh that aren't wrong. Amen? To desire a donut is not wrong. To desire them all the time is. Actually, to desire them all the time is not wrong. To feed all the time is. Amen? And so that's why sometimes you will have to... I call them stupid little, but they're really not stupid. These little things, challenges for myself, I do these all the time. And one of the ones that I do is I love candy bars. Love candy bars. I've said this a bunch, I know, but I'm going to say it again. I love candy bars. And every time I'm in a grocery line or something like that, I want them all, every single time. Sometimes I go to the candy bar aisle just to look and think about how much I want every single one of them. Amen? But I almost never partake of a candy bar. Now, I partake of a lot of things but that are not good for me, you know, that way, food-wise. I know you love candy bars too, right? Chocolate bars? Yeah. She hates chocolate. She's a weirdo. Glory to God. I don't know how you could hate chocolate, but I just thought about that. Is that, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everybody say hi to our friend Britt. Glory to God. But I almost never have them just because of that reason. I tell my flesh no, and I tell it no all the time. Yeah. Every once in a while, I do it, making a conscious decision that that's what I'm doing. But I almost always tell it no on that thing. We need to pick things out in life sometimes. Maybe you know, you're thinking about what you want for dinner and you're thinking, oh, I want a cheeseburger. And instead, you just purposely don't. You have something completely different, like a salad. You know? Do you know? I don't know if I said this in here, but my wife can't even call it a salad in our house. If she wants to feed me it, she has to call it, she calls it like an arugula delight. She won't call it a salad because I will not eat a salad. I just can't do it. And we all just want a salad. I just can't stand them. But I'm that way about vegetables too. To tell you the truth, I mean, most vegetables make me gag. Yeah, they give me like, you know, some people get gaggy by like something chewy or gooey or something like that. No, me, it's vegetables. Like they make me gag. I don't know what it is. But, you know, so sometimes I just got to tell myself, I got to make myself eat them sometimes, once in a while. Amen. Praise the Lord. But this is practice. These things are practice. If you walk in the flesh, you will not walk spiritually. And so sometimes you have to fight the flesh. You have to have a starting point somewhere. Amen. Self-control. I love this. When I look this up, literally is the virtue. In the Greek, this is what it means. The virtue of one who masters his desires and passions. That's what self-control is. It's a process. Amen? Walking in the Spirit, walking according to the Spirit, is a process. See, You hear self-control. You see now that self-control is the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions. You don't have to have scripture to tell you how to be spiritual. All you have to do is start putting to practice these things. You start putting to practice self-control. Maybe it's just, and it could be something different every day, every minute. Maybe it's just you're just going along and all of a sudden, you know, it's like, well, I really want to exercise, so I'm just going to have self-control and I'm not going to. I think that doesn't work that way, but. I mean, you can justify whatever you need to, but praise the Lord. But you understand that, you know, that is a perfect way. We have to put it to practice. The Bible makes it practical, again, as it says here, walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Practice telling the flesh no. Sometimes we find ourselves in a position where we've got the flesh, we've given the flesh a lot of leeway. Yeah. And the flesh really has control, really has say in our lives. Amen? Yeah. I remember this when I used to smoke cigarettes. And that was, I would quit like probably once every few months, I would quit smoking. And then, I was done. I would quit. And then 5 minutes later, that's what I was doing, or 10 minutes later. And, you know, and finally, of course, I did that. But what was it? It was making the flesh. Of course, and addictions make it a lot more difficult. But it was making the only way to break it was to break the flesh, was to tell the flesh no. And there was many times when I wasn't. And that's why I get good at saying, this time I'm going to do it. Because it might be 1,000 times, but 1,001, I'm going to get it. Amen. Yeah. But it's a matter of keep going back towards these things. Romans 8:13 says, for if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. I love that. I love that it, in this version, I don't think it always says this in every translation, but I love in this translation that it says, if you are putting to death the deeds of the body. Putting to death. It's a practice. It's something that we have to do. It's something that we have to grab hold of. And you say, well, what are these things that we have to do? Well, specifically, we look in our lives, the things that are out of control. And we start going. Now, of course, we go in faith. You know, you can go before the Lord and say, Lord, I struggle with this. But I know that I need to put this down. I need to get this under control. So I'm going to start putting to practice this. And as I do that, I'm going to do that's spiritual. That's a spiritual transaction that you've entered in. Amen. And it's just that easy. You know, what keeps, I said this in this week's Faith Fix again, but I think it's so, again, so practical, so good. What will keep us from sinning? Well, when you have knowledge of what sin does. See, some people don't care the effects of sin, and they'll just keep doing it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I'll take smoking, for example. Is smoking going to take somebody to hell? It absolutely won't. But it will, you know, as I've said many times, it will get somebody to heaven quicker. You know, there's people that we know, there's enough knowledge to know that it's a bad, bad thing. You can't get away from the fact that it's bad. But somebody who insists on persisting in that, even knowing that it's bad, cannot be so upset when they have the effects of that come out in their body. Amen? And so, you know, so these are things that we have to understand. Sometimes people in life, you know, alcoholics know this. They know, because once you become an alcoholic, it's something that you have to do and not just something that you enjoy. And by the way, nobody plans on becoming an alcoholic. It's just a process of what happens when you drink alcohol. But once they become an alcoholic, they don't like the effects of it, but they keep doing it. There's nobody that likes a hangover, but they keep going back to it. There's people that don't like the effects of, you know, if you get arrested or get a ticket because you've been drunk driving or something like that. You don't like that. Praise the Lord. And yet in our society, we inflate it so much, isn't it? Amen? But if you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. I love this. I mean, this is just another thing I was inspired to do. I looked up live in the concordance. And one part of the definition is, and I love this, it's so good. Are you ready? Be endless in the kingdom of God. So if you are by the Spirit, you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you are endless in the kingdom of God. Do you know what that means? It means that your life starts and is endless. that you live, that you, even though we're gonna walk through this life and eventually our body is gonna expire and we're gonna go on, but we're just gonna keep going. But it's going to be good. It's going to be going better for us. Amen. But the life for a believer doesn't end. That living, that life of joy is just one step of glory to another. It just gets better and better and better as we keep going. And so when we transition out of this life, we should be able to transition peacefully and joyfully. How does a believer do that? When they understand who they are, when they understand what they're doing, amen? But unfortunately, a lot of believers don't understand this. And so for so many people, they live in the flesh as believers in Christ. But that's why they face the problems that they face. Jesus didn't die to give you everything. He died so the Holy Spirit could come to you and you could once again be partakers of God's nature. Jesus died to bring you back to God. The fullness of that life, listen to me, will not be had here. But it definitely starts here. The fullness of the life of God will not be had here. But it starts here. Now, the fullness of what He's intended for our lives can be had here. But the fullness of what He has for us is not here. And that's why the Bible tells us to be heavenly minded constantly. Because whatever we go through here, oh, there's so many scriptures I could have gone to today. Whatever we go through here, the Bible over and over, patience, be patient, be patient. Even when things go wrong, even when things are opposite, even when you've been wronged, and you know, one of the set of the scriptures I was going to go to and I didn't is over there in James 5, and it literally talks about when you've been wronged, when that God will vindicate. Amen. But to be patient until the day of Jesus, be patient all the way through until He comes back. And it gives us the idea that we don't have a right to stop being patient. And that steadfast, the patience is steadfastness that builds in us something that as we practice this, as we put these things to practice, this builds in us the ability to continue on, to make it through. You know, you look at somebody who has gone through the things like Joyce Meyer had gone through and destructive. I mean, she was raped over and over and over again, and abused physically and mentally, just abused. And yet today she lives such a good, solid, stable life. Yes. Praise the Lord. And she lives that way because she put steadfastness to practice. Yeah. Patience. God built things in her over time. And so even when the worst of the worst has happened, praise the Lord, God can redeem it, but he redeems it through the Spirit. Now, if you continue to give into the flesh, which you see a lot of people, I witness this even today, people that just give into the flesh, they embrace the flesh so much, that there's nothing I can say to them. Yeah. I've seen that. Yeah. People embrace the flesh so much, I can't even help them. That no amount of word that I teach them will help because they won't let go of the flesh. Yeah. Think about that. I have seen people, and it's perplexing to me. In life, I've seen people so many times as a pastor that I know I can do nothing for. The only thing I can do is just comfort them where they're at and just basically say they're there. Pat them on the back, say I love you, God loves you. But I can do nothing to help them. Because the embracing of the flesh or the putting down of the flesh, notice this, that it's something that each one of us has to choose. It's something that each one of us has to deal with. I can't deal with your flesh, you have to. And you can't deal with my flesh, I have to. Amen. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. You were over there in announcements, weren't you, Josh, over in that area? Praise the Lord. Hebrews 10, 35. Love the scripture. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Endurance produces in us the ability to receive all of that which God has prepared for us. Let me say that again. Endurance produces in us the ability to receive all of that which God has prepared for us. Amen. You know what I was thinking about this? in these scriptures. I was thinking about I remember back when I worked in the factory that there was these guys that would work extra shifts, and every once in a while I would do it. Work an extra shift, and they work overtime, and sometimes they would work on holidays, and they would get triple time, because that's what they would pay on holidays. If you worked on a paid holiday, they would give you make three times your normal wage, and so people always often did this. And that was really putting down. That was a suffering, right? That was something that they would have to endure through. I remember when I would work a double shift, I would have to endure through that through the night. You know, you get the second wind at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're pretty excited because you've been there already since 3 o'clock in the afternoon. 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, you're going good, you're going strong, working hard. But then at 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning, man, there's a lull. And I'm just telling you, and it's enduring, and you're pushing through it. But here's the thing. On payday, it looks a lot different. And see, the same thing is with us. When the Bible says, don't throw away your confidence, see, there's a confidence in a worker who's doing that because they know on payday it'll be good. And even though that it's hard for them right now, that when they get to that payday, it's going to pay out. Well, the same thing is with God. When we walk in His statutes, when we put the flesh down, when we embrace the things of the Spirit, and we say, yeah, you know what, I'm going to forgive that person because that's what God's told me to do, and I'm going to do so happily, there's a payout for that. Even when they don't deserve it, doesn't matter. See, God hasn't told you to forgive them because it does anything to them. He told you to forgive them because it releases you. It puts something in you. It builds endurance in you. And that endurance that it builds in you is one that pays out in the time, in the right time. Amen? Praise God. We can go on living weak Christian lives, always needing every trouble covered, and we can accomplish little. Or we can endure, preparing to receive the greater paycheck. Trial is coming. It can either produce in us or it can hinder us. The choice is solely up to us. And see, when we look at this life, we have to understand that endurance and patience, these are things that God has designed to make us better. And so if you're facing a trial, if you're facing opposition, when you're facing things that don't seem right, if you understand who you are in Christ, you can understand that that is only producing for you a greater payout. That in the end, it will pay. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance. You know, here's the thing. Think about this. It says, don't throw away your confidence, which has great reward. If you're in the process of, in the place of either keeping confidence or losing confidence, it means your confidence is being tried. Yeah. It means there's opposition there, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. If you just went through life sailing, no opposition, there's no great reward.
That's right.
There's nothing bigger.
Right.
There's no big payout. There's no big paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
It's the endurance that produces in us the greater payout. And my wife and I have seen this in our own lives. There was many years we sacrificed. It didn't look like we were going anywhere. In fact, I think I just said to Josh and Rachel, I was talking to them, and I mentioned something to them about seasons. You know, and when you're in a season, don't get frustrated by a season. Not that they were being frustrated. I believe it was inspired in the moment. Don't get frustrated by a season. Not when you understand that whatever it's producing in you is going to be good. Maybe you can't see it. My wife and I could not see the life that we live today. We could not, it was an impossibility. We couldn't see it. Years and years and years of sowing, years and years and years of not reaping, years and years and years of watching other people increase around us and get promoted around us and the blessing coming to them. And I remember going year after year. I remember standing before my pastor one day and sitting with him in his office. And I remember saying to him, like, Pastor, every single year at Christmas, we're trying to figure out how to just pay bills. We can't even buy Christmas presents. We're trying to every single year. And we tithe and we give, and we were tithers and we were givers. We were doing it and we were serving as much as we could. There was a time when we would go up to Fredonia for a special meeting on fumes almost, and we would go sit with the Wises afterwards, you know, Pastor Scott Wise and his family. And between the two families, we couldn't afford two $5 pizzas from Little Caesars.
Yeah.
That's where we were at. And today we'll go to a $60 lunch and not even think of it. Not every day. you know, but my point, the point that I'm trying, what's that? We get to do that stuff. Absolutely. What is that? This is producing, and God produces things. There's great reward when you're faithful. So what do? You just keep going. Why? Because giving up, if you throw away your confidence, you have nothing. It's like if you quit your job, you work a 16-hour shift and 15 hours into it, you're like, I quit. I'm done. You walk away from your job. Yeah, well, like what? You know what I used to do? I'd work the 16, the double shift, and then I'd take a day off afterwards. Well, that hosed me. That didn't do any good. You know what I'm saying? Like, what good did that do? It didn't do any good. And then I get to the paycheck. I'm like, oh, I worked a double shift this week, and I see the paycheck. I'm like, it's awfully familiar. Why? Because I threw away my confidence. Yeah. See, if you don't endure through the end, you don't get the payout. Right. But if you endure through the end, there's a great reward. Now, of course, I'm using finances and stuff like that, but it's not just finances, just faithfulness to the kingdom of God. Do you know what it's like to live a blessed life? Do you know what it's like to have hope every day? I wake up with expectation and hope every day. Of what? For whatever good. I just expect it's going to be good. And if today's bad, you know how I get through today's being bad? Because I know it's going to be good. Even if it's bad now, it's going to turn around. It has to. Why? Because I'm not going to throw away my confidence in God. I trust the Lord, and I'm going to keep that. So that's what patiently enduring is sitting there saying, I'm not going to sit here and complain about it. Sometimes I complain about it, but I'm not going to make it a habit of complaining about it. You know what I mean? And I'm learning to complain less and less. Why? Because there's no reason to. God has blessed me with every earthly blessing. There's nothing that he is withholding from me in the sense of that it won't ever come. Trial is coming. It's going to come. Guess what? Trial is coming. It might be tomorrow. It might be when you leave here. You might not even get to leave here before trial starts happening. Believe that it won't, but it might happen. Praise the Lord. You ever come to church in a good mood and left not so good of a mood? Amen. It's happened to me a lot. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But God's producing something in us. I wrote this down, and again, it was another one of those things that came to me. The one whom God has worked in is able to carry the greater things he is working. Yeah. The one whom God has worked in is able to carry the greater things that he is working. God is working. Yeah. Amen? Praise the Lord. Colossians 1:21. Praise the Lord. Colossians 1:21. See, the devil would really hate believers to hear this kind of message. Yeah. Amen. And although you were formerly, Colossians 1:21, although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds. Now let's just stop there and look at this. Let's chew on this for a minute. Although you were formerly, that means before. This should not be the mindset. What we're about to see should not be the mindset of a Christian. And if it is, by the Spirit, you need to put it to death. Because that's a desire of the flesh, to stay hostile, to stay alienated. Alienated and hostile in mind. We know what that is. You know what alienated from God feels like. You were there, and you've probably been there since then. You've had times where you're going through something, and you know you get offended, or you allow that offense to grow in you and to create. It starts creating something, and all of a sudden you feel like God is a million miles away. That's what being alienated is. But we have a choice: hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds. A Christian should not be in this place. Amen. Yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death. So we see this. This is exactly what I was saying earlier. When Jesus died, he died to bring us back to a place of God, of being with God, to exposure to the God kind of life, the life that he wants to live. But here's the thing. When you were born again, your sins didn't just drop off, did they? I mean, the forgiveness was there. But we know there's a difference between being forgiven and effects of something that's been done. Yeah. Amen? God can forgive you, But you still have to walk out the effects. Yeah. And why do you suppose that that would be? Because if there wasn't effects for sin, we would never do anything other than sin.
Yeah.
Why? Because sin is enjoyable to the flesh. Yeah. The fallen flesh wants sin. It wants what's wrong.
Yeah.
That's why it's not satisfied with a donut once in a while. It wants a bunch of donuts every day. It's not satisfied with one pink striped cookie. It wants a whole box of them in the freezer. Amen? Yeah, yeah. Well, somebody did. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's not satisfied with one peanut butter egg, Reese's peanut butter egg. It wants a whole bag of them, right, Jennifer? Yeah. If you don't know, I'm not saying that because Jennifer's obsessed with peanut butter eggs. I'm saying that because she heard I like them and she bought me a bag of them. At least once brought me, or at least a few times brought me, and you can't do that because that just tempted me. Yeah. Ooh. 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 Jennifer and the devil are partnering over here. Yeah. But she's right. Maybe it's just up to me to say no, right? No, it totally is. You're right. Absolutely right. Huh? Yeah, it ain't going to happen. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just got to remove it right far from you. Amen. Glory to God. He has now reconciled you to in his fleshly body through death. He paid the price we couldn't pay. He crucified the flesh that we couldn't crucify in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast. Glory to God. And not moved away from the hope. Look at that. If you're not moved away from the hope. Listen, there's only one way we can be moved away from the hope, and it isn't because these scriptures aren't giving us the idea that you know, a moving crew comes in and takes us away. It's not Calgon, right? Praise the Lord. No, this is you going after it. This is you looking at the bag. This is me looking at the bag of Reese's peanut butter eggs and just not saying no. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Moved away from the hope. We have to continue steadfast. But this is the thing. We don't think, it doesn't feel, and I know how you feel because I've been there too and I am there and all these, you know, it doesn't feel like we can. It doesn't feel like it's something that we're just going to be able to do. We look at it and say, that's an impossibility. But not if we know we are in Christ. Because then we look at it and we start saying the right things. This is where real confession works. You know, not confession, just go around confessing whatever you want and it just appears. But go around and saying, you know, looking at it and saying, well, listen, in my flesh, I know I can't deal with this. But Lord, I know because your word tells me that you've made me a new creation. That you've made me a victor. I'm more than a conqueror. And so I know that I can do this with your help. I know that this is what I can do. See, that's holding on to faith. And that's pressing through. And maybe saying that 1,001 times. Amen? Praise God. If indeed we continue steadfast, continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Amen. I'm getting close to ending here, but I wanted to share this with you because when I was first, this was actually, this part was originally the first part of, when I first started this message, all of this part was in the beginning of the other message, and then I rewrote it because I had different direction or more direction and got here. Amen. But what I saw it like a pendulum. And if you know what a pendulum is, if not, you just think of a swing at the playground. You know, there's a swing. And if you get on a swing, if you've ever been on a swing, you know, you go back and forth. And we talked about that. We try to flip them over back in the day. But, you know, if you don't pump your legs on the swing or nobody pushes you, even if you're going high, eventually you start slowing down. and eventually slow down so much that you come to a stop. And you know why that happens? It happens because of a little thing called friction. There's friction at the point where the chains meet the swing, and there's friction even in the air that slows us down. Resistance, friction, amen? In the same way, sin nature is stabilized by friction. Opposition produces steadfastness. As we walk through this life and we press through, that's the friction that stops the sin nature from producing in us the thing that the sin is trying to produce. And so steadfastness, literally, it gets us to the point, and this is why that it happens, and I'll just illustrate it like this. Think about it just like this. If you get to a place, now I'm in my 40s now, and I've gotten to a place where a lot of things, I don't need them overnight. If something I want and desire, I can wait for it. In fact, sometimes I purposely wait for it. Even though I could afford it, maybe there's a tool that would make my life a little bit easier. But purposely, sometimes I won't just because I'll wait, because I can. I don't have to have it now. What is that? It's that friction. That's that resistance that produces in me. Amen? Praise the Lord. It keeps me from jumping on everything. It keeps me from getting into financial trouble because I'm not out buying everything that I want. And see, that's the whole issue with sin. Sin is instant gratification. It's I want it now. I want it regardless of whether it's right. I don't care what it's going to produce later on. You will later on. But in the moment, you don't. And it's because if there's no friction, if there's no opposition, then you just jump right into that. And then you eat the fruit of doing that thing. But see, when there's opposition to those things, when there's a friction, and that's what steadfastness is in us, it's that built-up friction, that resistance to the sin. And as that builds in us, we become more effective people and can carry more. That's why sometimes the blessing of the Lord waits, because it's going to come in a time when it doesn't cause us to fall into a trap or temptation. It's going to come in the time when we're able to carry that and be a blessing with it. And that's the way it is with all the things with God. And so if we would start realizing in our life that opposition produces steadfastness, and that's a good thing, we wouldn't necessarily be sad every time something doesn't seem to go our way. Amen. I like to use the idea, I know my pastor always used it too, of weightlifting. You know, without resistance, weightlifting is pointless. It just is. We all know it. The resistance is what we don't like. But you know that if you want that beach body, hallelujah, you're only going to get it by the resistance. And the same thing is with the blessings of God. We're not going to just walk into the whole plan and blessing of God just by getting everything handed to us. Jesus paved a way for us to have all things, but that doesn't mean that all things come to us instantly and every time. I want to close with 2 Corinthians 4:17. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Look at this. Momentary light affliction. The Bible promises us that there's nothing, no temptation that will overcome us. There's nothing that can stop us if we stay in faith. There's nothing that can hold us or hinder us. You know, this is why I even say to people that are going through things, like, why does this change the plan? Whatever it is, why does it change the plan? It does, you know, whatever it could be. What opposition, why does this change? How does this change God's plan? Do you think it changed him? Do you think all of a sudden God's looking at your situation and think, you know what? This is way worse than I expected. Yeah. What are we going to, I don't know what we're going to do, man. You're just kind of, you. That's it. It's all done for you. God never looks at it that way. So why should we look at it that way? If there is an affliction, a momentary light affliction, and that's all things are if we know who we are in Christ, they're momentary and light. They're producing in us something greater. The opposition keeps us from sin, praise the Lord, and produces steadfastness in us, which enables us to carry all the things, the greater things that God wants to do in our lives. I'll say this and I use this example in closing. People want miracles, and miracles are something I desire. Yeah. But until we're at a place where we can carry that that blessed, wonderful, glorious thing, until we're people, I mean, listen, if we can't even be kind in church today, then why would we expect we're going to have miracles? If we can't even, you know, if people have a hard time not just giving in a local church, but just being generous to people in general, if that's still an issue with you, why would you think that God is going to bless you with miracles? That's the greater. Jesus said, if you are not faithful in the least, you will not have the much. You won't have the greater. And that's a principle that is very clear in the Word. We want a great move of God. How are we going to have it? We're going to have it by stewarding the move that we currently are having. Because guess what? It is a move. You know, when you look at your situation, I know I want to close, but there's stuff. When you look at your situation, I mean, maybe you're in a situation where it's like all of a sudden you had a plan. You're going this direction. You know, things were going good. They were looking good. All of a sudden, there's a hiccup, a giddy up in your hitch. Yeah, that's what it is. Hitch in your giddy up. All of a sudden, there's something there. Why does it stop you? Right. Maybe you have to do something different for a while, but why would that stop you? Do you know what people do? They have opposition. They sit down and start pouting. Yeah. Praise God. I mean, it's just the truth. I'll use the example of Justin Thorpe. I always love this. He lost his job, didn't have a job. Yeah. And what did he do? Started working for the church for free. That's what he did. Then he had to give up his job for specific reasons. There was reasons he had to give up his job, and there were righteous reasons what he did. He had to give up his job, and you know what he did? These were different times. He started working for the church for free again. That's what he did. Like he came to me and he said, "Now I'm going to work for you for free because I just this is what the direction is." Praise the Lord. You know what came right after that? A good job, a job that he wasn't qualified for, that was created for him. Praise the Lord. And that's just one example of many. I wanted to use somebody else other than myself, so you're not just thinking I'm always talking about me. But like I witnessed it happen. But here is a man who sold out to the work of the Lord of the local church. He said, I have nothing else to offer, so I'm going to do this. I've been through it myself, and that's exactly why we see blessing in our life. How many people, and I don't just mean like, listen, I'm not talking about saying like making yourself available. That's great, making yourself available. How about just doing? How about just making something happen? You know, like if you got nothing to do, maybe you have nothing to do. Maybe you lose your car. Maybe it's the worst thing. You lose your car. Well, you know what? You can go out and walk. You can walk in the park. You maybe you lost your job and your car all at the same time. Guess what? You go out and walk in the park and start talking to people. Yeah. You can start doing the work of the Lord. You could go pick up trash in Jesus' name. I mean, you can find something to do. You don't have to be stalled at anything. Praise the Lord. See, a person of faith keeps going. Yeah. When you have faith, well, that's what faith does. It drives you. It keeps pushing you. It's like, I don't care. I'm just going to keep doing it. Yeah. You know, I remember when I was on staff at the Jamestown Church, the finances at that time were very, very low. There was weeks where it was like, don't spend any money on the credit card. Don't use any extra money. But my job, like, it was necessary for me to spend money. Otherwise, I didn't have work because I had to go do projects or whatever. I worked maintenance. And one of the things I was hired to do was landscaping. And I wanted to do a nice landscaping, but I had no money to do it with. Yeah. And I needed rocks for landscaping. So you know what I did? I went out into the property and started digging rocks. I started finding, I didn't call in. All the rocks there, all the rocks this size are smaller at the Jamestown Church, if you ever go there, even flat ones. Every single one of those I found somewhere on that property. Or on somebody else's property, I went and got them and brought them there. But they weren't bought by a landscape company and just dropped off there. Now, the big ones were, because I just couldn't move those, and that was a little bit later on. But what is that? That's just what faith does. Faith just keeps going. It's just like, this is what the project is, so I'm just going to keep moving towards it. See, the impossibilities, things look impossible sometimes, but the impossibilities are made possible with faith. Glory to God. And that's exactly what the Lord was teaching us. But, see, in that time, those types of things produced in me great steadfastness, because I'm hearing pastors say, you know, I want this property to look great. You know, you go do it, and you don't have any money to do it with. Praise the Lord. Yeah. or very little, you know what I mean? And so you make it go further. You learn how to do things like that. Amen. I remember my mom, this is a great example. When I was a kid, my mom was dirt poor. And I mean poor, poor, had nothing. And what she would do is she would take our, Christmas time was coming around. She couldn't afford Christmas presents. So what she would do is start throughout the year taking maybe toys that we didn't play with as much or whatever. She started hiding them, start putting them in a box or something. And then she would, around Christmas time, she took them out, wrapped them, and regave them to us. Of course, we were kids. We didn't know any different. You know, we were little. It didn't matter to us. I mean, wouldn't work so much probably with a 15-year-old. She usually, what's that? Give me your phone. Yeah. I think about the slippers she buys me now. Like every once in a while, every few years, I have to get a new pair of slippers because I wear slippers all the time. It wouldn't work so good with those. Although I will say this, the slippers that I have, I told her this year they're done. There's not anything to them anymore. I mean, I'm walking right through them. That's it. That's the way that it is. My wife went and dug out an old pair of the slippers I happened to not throw away because I just couldn't part with them. You know how it is? It's a good slipper. But there's more cushion in them than the ones I currently have. So I started wearing those until Christmas time. No. Nothing like a good faith hint. Praise the Lord. Don't go buying me slippers. But you know the point. Huh? Yeah, very particular slippers. And I wear them all the time. So the point is, you know, you do what you got to do, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. And sometimes that, why did I use a slipper? I don't even know why I use that, but. Wrapping the presents. Yeah, I was just saying you couldn't reuse the slippers. You couldn't rewrap the slippers. So don't come to my house trying to get, you could, but. Don't waste the tape on the wrapping. Put the tape on the slippers to hold them back together. Praise the Lord. But you press forward. There's no reason. Like, and listen, those times I never remember a Christmas that wasn't blessed. Right. I never remember feeling unblessed at Christmas, except for when I started getting a little bit spoiled and, you know, I didn't want this color, you know, or something like that, but it, never because we lacked for anything. Praise the Lord. And so, but that it produces steadfastness. So don't get sad about it. Push on through it. Amen.